Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Tuesday. What a glorious day it is. No normal Tuesday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, at Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1, 1 hour from now, and it will look much different. My top 10 Herd hierarchy, just frothing at releasing that today. Joy Taylor is joining me. Such a great night. Cigars, sushi.
Yeah, you were living your best life last night.
Wife's out of town. It's like
And you got to be petty with Steelers fans.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest. A lot of you don't think I have feelings. Mm-hmm. And they've hurt my feelings. They've been very mean to me. And it's very sad. And I think, you know, listen, I'm going to consider accepting apologies. I'm not saying I will, but I will consider accepting apologies. So let's start our show with this. I do a Herd hierarchy every week. And, you know, Kansas City's the best team in the league. Every week, though, I look at Pittsburgh and I'm like, out of respect for Tomlin, the Rooney family, just, you know, just they're such a formidable, great business. But, you know, great businesses like Sears and JCPenney, they erode over time. And the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't just lose last night. They're now forcing on a regular basis Big Ben to throw over 50 times. Not good. The injuries are piling up. Not good. They don't even attempt to run the football. Not good. And they struggle to put away average teams. Not good. Last night they finally lost. And there are certain things that I look at, and I just see other things. And I'll give you an example. Remember the movie Invincible, Mark Wahlberg, the bartender? It's a true story. He's a bartender, blue-collar guy, loses his wife, and he tries out for the Philadelphia Eagles. A tryout. He's just a regular dude, and he makes the team for a couple years. But when I watched the movie Invincible, it's a fun sports movie, Greg Kinnear, Mark Wahlberg. What I really see is, oh, it's just Rocky with football. It's a tough Philadelphia guy, you know, not making it, has a big dream. The bartender, Rocky, Sylvester Stallone, and they make it in Philadelphia. I can't watch Invincible without seeing Rocky. It's Rocky with a football. And I'm watching the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you know what they are? They're the Patriots last year. Patriots got off to this 8-0 start. We were like, wow. And all of a sudden, the games got closer, and they were asking more of Brady, and the results weren't good. Big Ben's had a passer rating last three games in the 80s. And they were asking more of Brady, and there was a couple of losses, and all of a sudden you look up, and here's what Pittsburgh is. Early in the year, Ben was 103 passer rating, throwing 35, 36 times a game, 7 yards a pass, 22 touchdowns, 4 picks. Weeks 11 through 13, they're the Patriots. I can't unsee it. And then all of a sudden you looked at the Patriots and they weren't getting blown out at the end, and Pittsburgh won't get blown out. They were losing close games to Houston. They lost a close game to Kansas City. They lost a close game to Miami. And then they got one and done in the playoffs by Tennessee. They are the Patriots last year. This is exactly what New England was. We paid them so much respect because of the brand and the name and Big Ben and Brady and the coach. They're just not dynamic. Look at them. They can't run. They don't want to make Big Ben throw 45, 55 times. That's what they have to do. They're not doing what they want to do. They're doing what they have to do. I mean, just injuries piling up. Think about this. Mike Tomlin eviscerated the Steelers a week ago. Just called them out. Said the word suck. We suck. What did he do that for? To mobilize the forces. So the fellas like, okay, coach is upset. Focus in. No, they were worse the following week. Because this is what they are. They're not a great football team. They're a good football team. 1 week from now, they face Buffalo. They're going to lose, and when they do, they'll no longer be the top seed. Similar last year to New England. Lost that last game to Miami, and they lost the bye. Similar, when Gronk left, New England really struggled in the pass game, despite Brady. And since Le'Veon Bell has left the Steelers, do you know what they are in rushing? 31st 1 year, 29th the next year, and 29th the following year. They're the same team, invincible and rocky with a football. This is the Patriots last year. It's the same thing. We gave them so much credit. Then you look back at the 8-0 Patriots, and you're like, well, what were the impressive wins? And you look back at the Steelers, and they had one or two, but you're like, it's a bunch of stuff over the Jags and Cowboys, and what am I supposed to be impressed? Oh, that big win over the Bengals? Last year, Patriots crushed the Jets and Giants. They were both awful. The Bengals this year, not good. Cowboys aren't good. And I'm sorry, but I this is what they are. We paid them so much respect for the 8-0 New England start and the 11-0 Pittsburgh start. Watch the games. There's no there. Mike Tomlin after.
We just got to make routine plays routinely. And I say that often, but there's a lot of truth to it. I'm just worried about us fluidly moving the football, whether it's run or pass. We move it how we choose to move it. The way that we chose to move it tonight wasn't fluid enough for us to have victory.
So let's talk about a team the Steelers face next, Buffalo, at Buffalo, Sunday Night Football. Bills are going to win, and probably handily. Josh Allen played about as well as he has ever played in the NFL, but this is cool. Is that, we always sort of understand that a college quarterback goes to the NFL, he won't be quite as dominant. You know, the defense is better, the coaching is better. You don't get any Troy State or Panera Breads, Two exceptions, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. They are way better against better players and better defenses and better coordinators. Mahomes and Josh Allen are way better pros than they were at college. And if you go back to the 2018 draft class, let's look at the success of those quarterbacks. It is literally linear. Lamar Jackson's the MVP. He inherited the best coach. Josh Allen got the next best coach, Sean McDermott, and he's now going to make the playoffs again. Baker Mayfield had bad early coaches, appears to have a good one now, and now he's finally having success. Sam Darnold started with Todd Bowles. Now it's Adam Gase. He's gotten worse as the coaching's gotten worse. And Josh Rosen had no shot. He had Steve Wilkes, who's a coordinator, not a head coach. It literally goes in line to coaching. In the NBA, LeBron, Shaq, Kobe, MJ, Magic, Bird, they can run through coaches. In baseball, Clayton Kershaw in his prime is going to win you 20 games. It doesn't matter who's filling out the lineup card. And in the NFL, once a decade, you get an Elway or an Andrew Luck, and perhaps it's Trevor Lawrence. They can transcend coaching. But for every other player, every other quarterback in this next draft class, all I care about now, because y'all have talent, is where you land. It doesn't matter if it's Justin Fields at Ohio State or Trey Lance at North Dakota, Mac Jones at Alabama, Kyle Trask at Florida, Trey Lance. It doesn't matter. Zach Wilson at BYU. Trevor Lawrence is Luck and Elway. It doesn't, they'll transcend it. Where do you land? Who's your coach? I mean, Josh Allen, and from scouts I trust, and Lamar Jackson from scouts I trust, multiple GM scouts. My guys were all like, oh, both of those, it could get ugly. But they went to John Harbaugh and Sean McDermott. And McDermott, Harbaugh's got Greg Roman as a coordinator. And Sean McDermott has Brian Daboll as a coordinator. I mean, you're watching Josh Allen last night. He wasn't that good against high school players. He wasn't that good against what conference is Wyoming in? He was literally taking Robert Saleh, who you guys all think is a great coordinator. I don't know. Tore him apart. They couldn't stop him. He toyed with him. And so, you know, for all these years, we always look at these college quarterbacks that come to the NFL with their arm and their size. Go look at Josh Allen's last 3 years in the NFL. For our radio audience, I apologize. I'm not going to break this down. Completion percentage, passer rating, passing touchdowns, passing yards per game. Look at those 30% leaps every year. He didn't get better. His coaching is better. Justin Fields could be a bust. Bad head coach? I mean, literally, Baker Mayfield looked like a bust. Gets a coach, you're like, oh, you can win a playoff game with him. Darnold looked dynamic early. Gase, it's gotten worse. I'm not even, can you get a fourth-round pick for Sam Darnold today? So, wow. I mean, that was kind of like, I mean, that was Mahomes-like last night. Arm angles, deep ball, rolling out, that is Mahomes, Josh Allen, are significantly better. And what has Patrick Mahomes gotten? Oh, Andy Reid. Oh, what a shock. Good GM, Andy Reid. Nice offensive line, good ownership, top GM. That was quite a performance last night, though. That was like jaw-dropping performance. Good for Buffalo, good for Josh Allen. Coming up next, you know, antisocial or social media, whatever you call it, it used to be, for most of my life, is that very few people had a voice. I mean, your local newspaper would have a letter to the editor, and they'd allowed like four on Saturday. But basically, the media talked, a politician talked, a big important person talked, but the public didn't really have any influence or say. And then social media, the Snapchat, the Instagram, the Twitter, the Parler, the whatever it is. But in order to maintain sanity when everybody gets an opinion, because let's be honest, a lot of people probably shouldn't just talk, at least we shouldn't hear it. To maintain sanity in this world now where everybody gets an opinion, 3 years old to 103. To maintain sanity, you just have to tune certain people out. On Twitter, they call it muting. They don't know you tuned them out. They yell and scream at the sky, but you can't see their comments. LeBron James, as great as he is, needs to learn this. That's coming up. Herd Hierarchy, top of next hour.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Coming in 2021, Discovery Plus. Coming soon, a streaming service. Stuff on it like the Food Network, HGTV, and all new exclusive originals. So, as I said before the break, is, you know, sometimes in this world where everybody gets an opinion, you have to mute certain people. They just lose the right to be heard. They don't lose the right to have an opinion, but they lose the right to be heard. I've said this about people who claim COVID was a hoax to humiliate Trump. Okay, he's leaving, the new guy's coming in, and now the cases are still surging. You have a right to say that, and I have a right to mute you, and you're not, can't be taken seriously. So LeBron, for some reason, still worries a lot about what Kyrie Irving says. It really bothers him. So Kyrie Irving said this not long ago about Kevin Durant. Here's Kyrie Irving.
One thing I've always been comfortable with is, you know, I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for, you know, down the stretch. This is the first time in my career where I could look down and be like, that motherfucker can make that shot too. And he'll probably do it a lot easier.
Okay, so that's cool. He's saying basically Durant is the best closer he's ever worked with, and he always thought he was the best closer. Now LeBron did not like this comment. LeBron's reaction.
Like damn. Once I got the whole transcript, I was like, damn. You know, I wasn't like, oh, you tripping. I've hit game winning shots my whole life. I was not like that. I was like, damn, because I mean, I played with Kyrie for 3 seasons. And we was able to win a championship. That's the craziest thing. We were still able to win a championship, and we could never align, but I only cared about his well-being, both on and off the floor. And it kind of hurt me a little bit.
LeBron. Kyrie Irving is gifted. I mean, really, really talented. But I'm going to tell you a series of things he has said over the last couple of years. The earth is flat. Steaks don't come from anything natural. Christmas isn't a holiday. There's not one real picture of the earth. And anybody, Kevin, could coach us and we could win. Okay. Yesterday, I saw a story where a former Israel space security chief said there was a galactic federation, an agreement between aliens and governments. And in fact, under the surface of Mars, there was a big space where American astronauts and alien representatives hung out. I imagine they played bridge or maybe backgammon. Okay, we're not going to listen to you anymore. That's not what's happening. Astronauts under the surface of Mars with alien representatives, and the governments are all part of what he called a galactic federation. We have signed a contract. Well, at least they have pens and paper in the alien world, between governments and aliens to work together and do experiments around Earth. Listen, Kyrie's great, but you get to a point with certain people where they're just great, they're talented, but you got to mute them. And LeBron needs to mute Kyrie. Just he says stuff, maybe it's to get a reaction. Maybe he's just doing it to be funny. Maybe he's got a great sense of humor and I don't get it. But, you know, you can't listen to every opinion. LeBron's been a great teammate. Kyrie, for the record, was nearly a bust in Cleveland before LeBron got there. Couldn't get along with teammates, couldn't get along with coaches, and could not stay healthy. LeBron, you're above this. Way above this. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Sounds like a Marvel movie. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy or something.
They're saying it's in the center of Mars. Not just aliens, but alien representatives.
Of course.
And American astronauts. Okay.
I believe him. I'm weird like that. I would love to interview people like that.
Oh, so would I. I'd put him on the show tomorrow as a guest.
Love to do that. So, rumors are swirling regarding Jim Harbaugh's job status at Michigan, and it seems as if he has some options. According to writer John Bacon, Harbaugh received a new contract offer from the Wolverines on Monday.
He did.
As well as interest from as many as 5 NFL teams.
Now, John Bacon's a legitimate reporter. He's been around for a long time. So if John Bacon says that it's real. So first of all, Michigan should offer him a contract. Come on. It's COVID. Like a lot of people, like James Franklin suddenly can't coach.
Yeah.
Let's give me a break on this. Some of these programs, I mean, Lincoln Riley's great. Oklahoma started like 0-2. So I'm okay with that. But I think, you know what this tells me, Joy? Harbaugh wants to stay at Michigan. This stuff comes out to say, hey, Michigan, remember when Nick Saban lost to Auburn years ago and suddenly there were Nick Saban's going to Texas rumors? And then 2 weeks later, Nick signed a massive contract that told you Nick wanted to stay at Alabama. But if you're going to mess with me.
Yeah, yeah, I have some leverage.
And so what Jim's saying is, okay, I'll make contact with a couple NFL teams.
See, maybe he's happier in college than he was in the NFL.
I think he is.
Because it is a different lifestyle altogether.
Smaller town, you control all the players.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what you want.
That's right.
Like but it is a different lifestyle.
Yeah.
And some might be worse for others. Some people don't like recruiting.
Right.
You know, it's some people want more control. They don't, other coaches don't mind that. They just want to coach. So it's really depending on what you want if you're in a situation like Jim Harbaugh. His offer is for a lower base salary and buyout, but it includes large incentives. So now he has the option to accept, negotiate, or decline. Michigan is 2-4 this season, and they face number 4 Ohio State this weekend at noon Eastern on Fox. I mean, his NFL record, 49-22-1.
That's
college
good.
Record, 107-49. I mean, he is a good coach.
Yes.
I think
having a bad year.
Awful year.
Yep.
But I'm with you when it comes to Michigan. I think, and I have a lot of friends that went to Michigan.
So do I.
Just lower the expectations for your program. Just a tiny bit. Just a little bit.
Listen,
and I don't really subscribe to that, but I feel like if you aren't of that championship, like you're Bama, you should expect to win a championship every year. Michigan, you should expect to be competitive every year.
9.5. But listen, I'm not saying this to be obnoxious. Ohio State historically is a better football program than Michigan. It's like a 1.5 better. It's okay. I'm not taking shots at anybody. It's almost like Oklahoma historically is a better program than Texas. I'd rather live in Austin. I like so much about the Longhorns. I love the Longhorns brand. But Oklahoma over the course of time has won like titles with like 4 different coaches. Like, it's okay to say this stuff. Auburn's good. Alabama historically is way better. You can still be a top 12 program, but your rival is better.
It's just hard to continuously have these conversations about Harbaugh.
He's
a great coach.
Yes.
It's a right. Just give it another year, a couple years. You'll be all right.
Listen, we're watching 3 or 4 program football teams in the NFL. 3 or 4 minimum with guys that are just over their skis. Harbaugh got to a Super Bowl. You don't think he's going to have an option? You don't think he can coach?
Oh, yeah. He could absolutely go back to the NFL.
And win. Of course he could.
I can think of several teams right now that would be very happy to take Harbaugh.
One in the AFC East that jumps out.
So James Harden failed to report to the Rockets' first workout on Sunday, as well as a scheduled individual workout that evening. When he was asked about Harden's absence, new head coach Steven Silas said he's unaware when Harden may return. He said, as far as the timetable, there is no timetable as far as I know, and it's a setback. You want your best player to be here. I have to be honest, this is a setback not having one of the best players in the NBA. So not sounding too happy about it. The NBA hasn't announced any disciplinary action due to Harden's violations of the COVID-19 protocols, which require players to quarantine except for essential activities and team-sanctioned workouts, and forbid players from attending parties and clubs, which, yes, in certain places of the country, those things are still available. Not here in LA. You cannot even go to a restaurant. But some places in the country is a little different. This is disappointing, but I can't. I guess it's kind of redundant to say it's disappointing, but not surprising. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, no, I'm not either. This is his personality. It's been his personality. He's kind of a quirky guy.
And this has kind of always been my problem with the Rockets in general. Like, what do you expect to happen? We talk about this all the time. Once you know who someone is, many years ago, I submitted to this. I felt like it was very wise of me. Because I used to get very frustrated because I'm a very competitive, driven person.
Yes.
And I could see great qualities in friends or family. And I'm like, you should do this. And like, I'd be encouraged. And like, I would drain myself trying to get other people to do that. And then I was like, it's not who they are. And they're happy not doing that. I wouldn't be happy if I had that particular talent and I wasn't taking advantage of it. But they're happy with that.
I had the same epiphany with my daughter in a car one time. The only time I've made her cry, I said, I went to a basketball game and she's a good little player at the time, but didn't care, played terrible. They just didn't care. And I said, if you don't care about something, then I'm not going to care. It's got to start with you. And I said, you just don't like basketball enough. I'm good with that. But I'm not driving all over the state following you if you don't care. And to your point, if James Harden doesn't show you he's a leader, he's shown no inclination to be a leader, then stop pretending he is.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean he's not
a great player.
Fantastic player.
That's right.
A Hall of Famer.
But he's not a leader.
It's not what he is.
He's showing you. He's almost telling you without subtlety, I scored. That's what I do. Let me do that. That's what I want to do. I want to be strip club score fun guy.
And I feel like so, not just basketball, so many sports organizations do this with their stars, and they just keep trying to convince themselves that it's going to change. Like, it's the same as a relationship. Like, they're not changing. People change for themselves, not for you.
John Wall for years told you he wasn't really committed. I mean, everybody in the league knew Bradley Beal was less talented but way more committed to basketball. John Wall was more talented, not committed. They stayed with him for like 8 years. It's like they both told you first year in the league. Practice habits, hard work, going to bed early, getting up early, showing up to practice. They told you who they were for years.
You are what you habitually do.
Thank you.
Finally, this story is amazing. So Mike Tyson's return to the boxing ring.
Amazing.
Has generated more than $80 million in pay-per-view revenue based on the latest figures. So he fought Roy Jones Jr. on November 28th. Sold more than 1.6 million pay-per-view buys, priced at $49.49 a piece, according to Tyson's Legend Only League. So that ranks among the top 10 combat sporting events in pay-per-view ranks at 1.6 million.
Okay, so this is where, like, UFC diehard and boxing diehard, this is where they don't get it. You know, you UFC guy, like, I know I've seen every fight. Oh, that's a you problem. Boxing guy wants to lecture you. Right now in boxing, Mike Tyson is the most interesting fighter. No question. And in UFC, Conor McGregor, if you give him a legitimate fight.
And he has one coming up.
First or second most interesting fighter. Like, I don't care, nothing against the rest of UFC, but if Conor fights a legitimate fighter, I, as a consumer, I'm not a diehard. I watch UFC cards all the time. Dana's done a great job. But when Conor fights, and I know he's into it, and it's a real fight, I am with my buddies buying the card. Well, and Tyson, I sat there knowing they had a no-knockout rule. I still bought the card.
Of course you are. Of course you're going to do that, because selling the fight is part of that sport. As like I said yesterday, if you're not a purist, fights are about the story. So even this ridiculous Mayweather-Paul situation that's coming up is going to sell, and this shows you why. It's the names. Like, if you can put superstars on these cards, people are going to watch, because they just, if for nothing else, like, not to see great boxing. You're not gonna see the best version of the Sweet Science, but it's gonna be a story. It's gonna be interesting. And I've said this for years. This is the best time ever to be in sports, because there's nothing left on live television except for politics and sports.
That's it.
So even if it's Mayweather fighting a YouTuber, people are going to watch. Mike Tyson at age 54 fighting Roy Jones Jr., people are clearly going to watch. The numbers speak for themselves.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So when you watch Washington last night, Washington in itself isn't fascinating, but when you watch the Giants beat Seattle and Washington beat Pittsburgh, those were the two biggest upsets of the weekend. I think it's fair to say this is not a reach that the Giants have found their coach. And I think Washington getting better every week has found theirs. That's a big deal in the NFL. Got to have the coach right. We just talked about quarterbacks. You can be the most talented guy in the world. Harbaugh and Sean McDermott guarantee Lamar and Josh Allen success. So we watched this weekend, the Giants upset Seattle, and last night Washington beat Pittsburgh. Probably in both cases, don't have the talent. So the Giants in the NFC East, the Giants and Washington's football team, they have their coach. Also, the Giants for the next several years have a talented quarterback, Daniel Jones, they won't have to pay. Washington will draft a quarterback and play him very early, and they won't pay him for 4 to 5 years. Meanwhile, the Dallas Cowboys, who keep losing and will lose tonight, I think rather close to Baltimore, will have a top five pick and have shown no inclination to draft a quarterback. So I want to put up, right now the New York Giants have no contracts over $17 million. None. Washington has one. Next year, here is what Dallas is paying just their offensive stars. Zeke will make $14 million, Amari Cooper $22 million, Dak $37 million, Zach Martin $17 million, Tyron Smith $14 million, Lyle Collins $12 million. I don't want to get into DeMarcus Lawrence, defensive end, at $25 million. I know, I threw up in my mouth. That's gross. That is what they're paying. By the way, Dak isn't even one contract over $20 million. He's almost two $20 million contracts. Giants don't have any. Washington's got one Alex Smith, barely over 20. The Dallas Cowboys shouldn't consider drafting a quarterback. They have to do one of two things. Either draft a young quarterback and not pay him, because you couldn't trade, you couldn't sell Zeke, Amari, and DeMarcus Lawrence contracts today. Tyron Smith, you couldn't sell him. You either got to draft a quarterback or, and I don't have a problem with this option either, you have got to trade down in the draft and get multiple second, third picks. Because that a top five pick this year for a quarterback, you can get a lot. And Jerry's got an ego. And Jerry Jones, he loves having a top 5-10 pick, right? Because everybody talks Cowboy. Oh, my Cowboy pick. Jerry, disappear out of the first round. Go to the third. Go to the second. Go to the fourth. You start looking at, because in your division right now, who's in big trouble? Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, that contract, and they don't know if they have the right coach. Dallas, we don't know if they have the right coach, $37 million for a quarterback. But I'm watching the Giants in Washington over the last 24, 48 hours. They both have the coach, and they're going to pay their quarterback nothing. And we got a formula in this league, and that's the formula. The Giants in Washington, get the coach, don't pay your quarterback for 3 or 4 years. I mean, Dallas has got... I saw a story today. They're going to tag Prescott. And that's all guaranteed money now. That's all guaranteed money, $37 million. That's almost two $20 million contracts. But what was it Jerry Jones was talking about this morning? This morning in Dallas, he was talking about, he was asked about their struggles, how they differ from the Washington football team in New York.
What do you say to that fan, Jerry, as to explaining the differences between where you guys are and where those other teams are with some similar issues?
Well, I think that's a fair approach to look at it, because have they incurred setbacks, injury? They made those, obviously made changes when they came in to their various organizations. I don't know how you could line them up and make a better, fairer comparison.
Like, he's just telling you. You look, Washington and New York, it's not just this weekend. They got the formula. They're ready to roll. Paying the quarterback nothing, got the right coach. I don't know how the Dallas Cowboys have a top five pick and either don't take a quarterback or trade down to get picks. They are on the precipice of being, and this is hard to do when you're the Dallas Cowboys, being irrelevant for like a long, long time. Logan Ryan of the Giants stops by next. Joy and I couldn't figure out, why was he on the market forever? Why? Remember when, before the season, we're like, why won't anybody get Logan Ryan? He's a great slot corner, great guy, great locker room guy. He's now the leader of the Giants defense, which shut down Russell Wilson. He's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Well, when Logan Ryan was playing for the Patriots, he was the classic New England Patriot. Smart, in the right place, you don't beat him over the top. Football team was always better, great in the locker room, goes to Tennessee, and then at some point doesn't work and he's on the market. We kept saying, why isn't anybody going after Logan Ryan? Everybody needs good people in the backfield. It's a passing league. And the Giants, Dave Gettleman, who we'd been critical of before, steps up. He's now playing safety. He's the leader of this young, aggressive defense. He is now joining us live. I was excited this morning when I saw Logan Ryan was going to be in our show, and it brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So when you were not picked up on the market and you're sitting at home with your family and you're sitting to yourself thinking, I can still play. People know who I am. I'm a grown-up. I'm a leader. Was there any moment you're thinking, the hell's going wrong with this league? What is going on? I mean, because we couldn't believe it. Could you believe it?
No, I couldn't believe it at times. I definitely couldn't, but I think it had to do with the weird year we live in, the changes, the COVID, what the draft's going to look like, what free agency is going to look like. And I felt like, you know, a lot of players may have panicked a little bit during free agency and jumped to sign deals.
Yep.
And I just, one thing about me is I know through my hard work and my preparation, what I bring to the field and what I bring to my teammates, that I make teams better, I make places better. And I'm going to do my best to be a great player and a great teammate. And I knew that had some worth. So I wanted to wait and also find a good fit for me and not just rush based on the, you know, what the world was looking like. And I had the opportunity and ability to wait a little bit and pick the right spot. And I felt like the Giants were the right spot for me with Pat Graham and Joe Judge, coaches I've played in the system for that believed in me since I was a rookie.
You know, that's interesting because people forget that alliance. You knew Joe Judge way better than us and the media did. What when you went, now a lot of people, I was one of them. I'm like, I've seen him on the sidelines. I've on New England. How do I know he can coach? Did you think, because the Giants get off to an 0-5 start. When did you know that, you know what? The players are buying in. We're going to turn this thing around. Was there a moment, a game, an epiphany, a play that you knew it's a bad start, but we're going to get this thing right?
Yeah, I think that an exact moment I can't say, but I felt like everything's a learning opportunity. And when we were taking those losses, and some of them were close games, they were really close. I knew if I could make a play or two in the end, we could win those games. And I put that on myself. But the locker room never folded. The leadership never tanked on the year. We never said, oh, man, this ain't it. It's a first-year coach. Too many excuses. There was no excuse made. We just kept going back to work, kept going back to work. And I wanted to win just to get those young guys the experience of what winning is like and what your hard work deserves you to get. So that's what I wanted it bad. And I think when we kind of went, obviously we started off 0-4. And I think those next four games, we started turning around. We played the Rams really well.
Yep.
And I felt like that was a moment in L.A. when we went out there and played the Rams really well. It was like, hold on, McVay's a really good coach. Goff's a really good quarterback. They have an experienced system. And they're running their plays really well at a high level. And we were able to really confuse them and make it really hard on them.
Yep.
We just got to figure out a way to win games in the end, situationally. And we weren't playing good third down defense earlier in the year. But if we could play the situations better, the formula to win, good on third down, good in the red area, run the ball, win the running game, penalties, discipline, things like that. Make teams beat you. Don't beat yourself. If we can start getting better in those areas, we can play with everybody, with anybody and everybody. And I felt like when we came back from L.A., the results might not have turned right away, but we started to show that we could play with everybody, and then we started to win those games. We started to make those plays in the end, and we started to give these really good quarterbacks a tough time.
You know, it's so you beat Seattle, and I said yesterday on the show, I said it certainly is an upset because you had a backup quarterback, but we're going to look at that game and go, like a month from now, and go, that wasn't that big of an upset. Like, they're really even. Flying back home, when you walked off the field in Seattle with Colt McCoy, your backup, and you had won the flight home, like, I got to imagine, like, what right now for the New York Giants, do you feel like the confidence of the roster after that win walking off the field went from here to there?
I think so. I think it's some of the younger players for sure to have that big time win. I think it has. But, you know, one thing about it is it wasn't a fluke game where we ran seven trick plays and had to do, you know, this and that and a reverse pass to squeak one out at the end. I think we knew Seattle. I've known them from playing in the Super Bowl. They're a team that relies on energy. They come at you in waves. They come at you with intimidation. We weren't afraid of DK Metcalf. We weren't afraid of Russ. We knew that we had to be a team that's together, that's tough, and to have to sustain and endure their waves. And when you're a boxer and you're in a fight, you always want to punch first. And that's what Seattle does. They punch first. They come at you fast. Jamal Adams is talking. He makes splashy plays. And they punch first. But nothing is scarier than someone who gets punched and stands there and continues to keep going forward. And that was us. We took that early blow, down 3-0 or whatever it may be, the block punt, down 5-0 at half, and we kept coming back. We kept pressing forward. We told them we had a strong chin, and we endured their waves, and I think we out-executed them in the end. And that's definitely a good feat against a quarterback as experienced and a coach as experienced as the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. But it just gave us proof that we are who we think we are when we play well, we execute well, and we work hard. And I think it goes to our hard work and our togetherness as a team.
You know, you're going to be as good, though, as Daniel Jones. You know this league. I mean, as good as New England was, Brady lubricates all of it. He's the engine. Daniel Jones has cut way back on turnovers. I didn't know. I watched him play at Duke. I thought, I don't know. Is that guy a six pick? What is it about Daniel Jones? Is there something you see that you think he could be special? Is there a trait or a quality, Logan, you see?
Yeah, I mean, if you see the guy in person, he throws one of the prettier balls in the league. He's bigger than you think. He's obviously faster than we all thought. I didn't know he'd be running away from DBs like he has been. He's extremely smart, and he's a hard worker. He's blue collar. He's going to be coached. They're coaching him hard week in and week out. He plays in the New York media, replacing Eli Manning. I mean, it couldn't get a tougher place to play pressure-wise. And he continues to show up, put the team first, take the blame, and keep working. And I just really think his ability to stay humble and keep working, it comes to him naturally. And he's just a worker. And I think he's going to improve on everything in his game. But he has the skill set. It's there. It's the size, the arm, the intelligence, the athleticism, the leadership. It's just the performances, the execution on game day. I think they're becoming better and better. And before you become a great quarterback, you can't be one that's detrimental to your team with turnovers. And I think he's become better with that and given us the opportunity to win. And look, I know you say you only go as far as your quarterback, but last year in Tennessee, I love Ryan Tannehill to death, and I love my Titans to death. But we were finding different ways to win with passing ball for 80 yards. We were still beating teams because we're moving the ball when we need to. In the second half, Seattle had 9 in the box, including Jamal Adams, and we rushed for 160 yards. So we moved the ball when we needed to. We got first downs when we needed to, and we got stops when you need to. And when this weather gets colder, it comes down to this rushing game, it comes down to the red area, it comes down to third down, and it comes down to special teams. And I feel like those are things that we're going to continue to work on as our strengths.
You should consider going into broadcasting when you're done. You'll have a lot of options. You really should. You can break it down very succinctly and very smartly. Couldn't be happier for you. Good people that work hard get opportunities. Yours are just beginning, Logan. And I love having you on our show. You didn't have to do it today, and I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you guys for the opportunity.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Logan Ryan, New York Giants, now playing safety. That's a dude, like, every locker room needs Logan Ryan. Smart dude. He's like, I told Shannon Sharp off the air this morning. He's like Russell Wilson on defense. Walks in, he's an adult, elevates everybody. Russell Wilson still never had an MVP vote. Like certain guys just walk in. Chauncey Billups in the NBA made every locker room better. Every single one better. Westbrook's way more talented. He can sometimes puncture momentum in a locker room. Chauncey Billups made every locker room better. I tell my kids this all the time. You can be a lubricator or an agitator. Walk into rooms and lubricate. No reason to agitate. Even if you're talented, you just wear people out. Logan Ryan's like, put him in my locker room. We'll figure out. A little older, maybe can't put him at corner. Move him back to safety. Put him in there. Boom. It's good. Herd hierarchy, top of next hour. I still can't get over a Mike Tyson fight. Made 80, was it 80 or 90 million?
80 million. And there's still numbers coming in, so that
are people still buying it?
No, but like they're still counting. So, you know, stop the count.
Like, listen, I tell Gottlieb this. Don't worry about being right. Just be interesting. Mike Tyson's interesting. He doesn't have a jab as much. His Larry Holmes was great at one point. He was dull. He was never interesting. Mike Tyson is interesting eating breakfast.
Yep.
I would pay-per-view to watch him eat scrambled eggs. Mike Tyson is interesting. RecTech is what people are talking about. The grill made by grillers for grillers. Check it out. The Master Chef indoors. No matter the weather, you're the chef. Turn it on by your phone. RecTech.